says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. Living creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be, and we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings, take care. Anila nijon ne go shabot ya, nijon ne go shabot ya. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh.
Akwe, greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Yeah.
Northern Cree drum, Blackstone, featuring the Logan Alexis Singers, off their Canyon Records CD, Blackstone Round Dance Singing. The name of that song was Young Runner. In many indigenous people's cultures, youth are very much respected and are given important responsibilities, serving as runners or messengers for the clan mothers, chiefs, and elders. We native peoples understand how important it is to listen and learn from our youth, as well as to teach and guide them. After all, youth will be our next generations. I swear greetings and hello everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Native Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. In today's program, Wolf Mountain Radio is honored to share a conversation I had with a youth activist, Miss Danae Davis. Danae is a fine African-American social justice organizer whom I had the pleasure to meet at a youth-sponsored global justice gathering known as the 2005 Immokalee in Centro. Yad Kiddushin Native Center had the honor to participate in a very special gathering of youth activists from across the country who came together to share ideas and experiences in the pursuit of what I term Earth Justice. Earth Justice incorporates social, economic, cultural, and environmental concerns dealing with the growing threat of globalization. Globalization is the 21st century's form of colonialism. The gathering, which was held August 1st through the 7th, 2005, was entitled Encuentro, from the Spanish term for meeting, gathering, or encounter. Hosted by the National Student Farm Worker Alliance, SFA, in support of the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, CIW, young activists met in an atmosphere of trust, equality, and solidarity in order to continue to build this youth movement for global justice. The Encuentro took place in one of the poorest communities in America, the town of Immokalee, Florida, located just 15 minutes from us here at Yad Kiddushin Native Center. Immokalee is one of the battlegrounds for poor people's social and economic justice. The oppression and exploitation faced by Immokalee farm workers over the years in the agricultural industry has been nothing less than modern-day slavery. The organizing and resistance work of the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, such as the recent precedent-setting victory in the Yum Brands Taco Bell boycott, is a significant achievement in the struggle for worker rights to fair wages and decent working conditions. Listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know that Yad Kiddushin Native Center has been and continues to be an ally to the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, our neighbors, since CIW's founding. Wolf Mountain Radio is proud to have provided continual coverage of CIW's struggles over the years to our worldwide listeners. Those of us who have participated in coalition campaigns and marches know that the fight for justice is far from over. This is why the Encuentro was so important. The Encuentro brought focus for strategies and the next phases of building alliances and movement networks for global justice and for continuing to support the Coalition of Immokalee Workers. The Immokalee Encuentro of student and youth activists and organizers who came together to share skills, knowledge, and experience was truly a committed, diverse, and talented group. I was honored to attend. The way in which the dialogue took place was very special. Event organizers, trainers, and participants were careful to ensure equality and respect for all, being very open to issues of power dynamics, such as racism, gender, sexism, economic status, class privilege, and white supremacy. It takes great effort to listen and make agreements based on inclusion, consent, and consensus. In indigenous peoples' cultures, we follow a traditional council circle way of gathering, using the Galuska Watanabe talking stick or talking feather. In this way, all have respect for each other and listen carefully to each other without bias or judgment. This ethic encourages everyone to consider how one's words and actions will impact the well-being of all life for seven future generations. This Student Farm Worker Alliance Youth Conference should be proud of how everyone worked together. It is a lesson many so-called adults should emulate. I want to share a paragraph from the Encuentro booklet entitled Listen and Build. Quote, we envision a space in which all voices are heard, seeing and hearing one another in our full humanity, where everyone feels comfortable to contribute and barriers between experts and audience are broken down. It's also extremely important that we confront the power hierarchies that we observe amongst and within ourselves and oppressive attitudes and behaviors we have internalized and continue to perpetuate even as activists, unquote. The week-long Immokalee and Centro operate on a consensus-based model, trying to be non-hierarchical, making sure everyone's voice and concerns were heard, while also promoting group cohesion and participation. In the spirit of the indigenous Zapatista movement in Chiapas, the SFA and Centro participants believe in direct action and direct democracy, where people and communities act through their own power to control and change their own lives without representatives, that oppressions must be confronted both within and outside of our movements, and that only fundamental systemic changes will lead to real justice, liberation, and peace. The range of workshops and trainings, the seriousness of the dialogue strategy sessions, and the cultural music presentations made this essential gathering both very special and very empowering. I want to thank everyone who participated in the Immokalee and Centro and truly hope that our grassroots gathering helped to contribute to create a new and better world for all life, for all of our relations. Kenan Wantakwasin. I hope the voices you hear from my interviews at the In Centro exemplify this introductory comment. As a way of introducing today's program guest, Danae Davis, I wish to play Tracy Chapman's song, Born to Fight. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Aho, Kenan Wantakwasin to all of our relations.
Trying to take away my pride, stripping me of everything I own, trying to hurt me inside, make me into a white man's throne. Oh no, oh no, this was not my sin.
For Fellowship of Reconciliation, which is like an old peace organization. I work with the Nonviolent Youth Collective, and we teach young people about different social justice issues from a nonviolent perspective. We do Peacemaker Training Institutes, which are like a week-long event where we have different young people. We try to get different people from different backgrounds to come together and discuss different issues. Currently at the main office in Nyack, New York, but in September I'm going to Minnesota were the youth officers. And most of my background is working in the African American community, working with families, working with young people, doing a lot of after school work, doing a lot of I work with black women in sports, teaching young people non-traditional sports in order to get scholarships in realms that young people from Philadelphia area don't get a chance to have access to. Did a lot of work with just young people for the most part, and for a while did a lot of work in churches and stuff like that. But for the main part, my heart is with my community, African American community. But the more I love my people, the more I love other people. So it's an inclusive vibe. But I'm interested in exploring, getting different tools. Why I'm here is my group was gonna do the anti-oppression workshop, but we decided not to, and so I decided to just come anyway in order to be able to learn. And I'm just here to get more tools and more understanding so that I can bring misinformation to other people who don't think about it, because I think there's a lot of connections between all people of color, amongst already being connections amongst all people, and that we need to begin to bridge some of the gaps that have been built by white supremacy and some gaps that have been built by internalized racism. So I'm just trying to grow on my own understanding so that I can bring that understanding to other people and then just be able to help in with everything in the whole. So
I thank you for your comments. I've learned a lot being able to be here as an observer and visitor, as journalist. One of the things that disturbs me quite a bit as a Native American person is that when I go to a lot of conferences, many times American Indian Indigenous peoples, we're kind of also invisible, and if we have an opportunity to speak or say anything, it's usually at the end of the conference. We're not usually included as equal participants. I think youth in many ways also suffer from that when they are part of a so-called adult conference as a youth component. Would you talk about why? Well, let me ask you, do you agree that in many cases youth really are not very well respected yet by a lot of the older people in different movements?
Yeah, I think so. I think that is very true, because I think that one thing about this generation, because so much is going on and because the generation before us did so much protesting, that we have a level of political conscience that's what it is there in a young person, that is a lot more sophisticated than they realize, and that we deal with a lot more than what they had to. And for some of us are in a position where either we have to adjust and survive, or we become ignorant and we get overtaken by the system. And for those of us who are taking it on should be taken very seriously, because we are dealing with very serious things, and we have a very serious analysis, and we have a very serious ability to be active and be effective in what's going on. And I think that there's also like issues between different generations not being able to get over the issues and the misunderstandings that we have from one another, because we may do things differently. And when we don't get over that, we miss out, because there's a lot of things that each generation can teach one another. Like, I see the effect on my peers who don't have older people in their lives. I see the effect on my peers who have younger parents and who don't have elders in their lives. And just in the way they talk and the way they carry themselves and their whole view of the world is missing something because they don't have another influence. And the same thing goes for older people who don't have a young person in their lives to bring forth some type of understanding so that they can better communicate with their sons, with their daughters, with their nieces, with their nephews, with their grandchildren. And I think that that's something that we really need to work on, because it's a weakness that can be resolved. It's something that doesn't have to be. So
I very much appreciated your comment about how, even though a lot of your focus is with the African American community, as mine is with indigenous Native American people, because I'm involved in environmental justice, I've had the honor for over 10 years to be involved with a lot of African American people here in the South, Southeast, struggling for environmental justice. And so as a Native person, I've learned a lot from that culture as well. What is it like for you as a young person of color, a black woman, working in a movement that is still largely Anglo or European American, white, whatever the so-called term is? I've been listening the past 4 or 5 days here, and I feel very good that the people with the Student Farm Worker Alliance, those who are non-people of color, seem to be much more open to at least looking at themselves and looking at the issues of privilege and race and white supremacy. Would you agree with that? And what are some of your personal insights?
I think that being a person of color in a movement that's largely Anglo, when the people who are largely the victim are not, is very difficult. And for me, it takes a lot of sacrifice, because for as much as I would rather always be around my people, meeting needs and being there and giving what I need, there's times where I need to step away and maybe be the only person like me in a room to, in order to gain different tools and different understanding and different access, and to be just a representative, you know. And it takes a lot of sacrifice, and it can be frustrating sometimes. And when it comes to dealing with largely Anglos in the movement, sometimes it can be very, very frustrating, because people can talk the lingo, but in practice, it can be another thing. And I think that's really, really frustrating when it comes to college students, because we have all these words. And for white people in particular, they can intellectualize things and they can talk about things.
Yes.
But when it comes to getting to our emotions, it may be a completely different story. And I think that's difficult for me, because as a person of color, when you go into situations like this, you always have to, for me, I always think, how far am I going to go? How much of myself am I going to pour out? You have to watch out for people sapping you and wanting to ask questions and to know and understand your experience, but not willing to stretch and go through pain and go through the suffering that comes along with your experience. So it's a lot of discernment that has to go along, because if not, you can get burnt out. Like, being an activist, period, you can get burnt out. But being a person of color who is largely in situations where you're the only one, there's a different level of being burnt out that you can worry about. And then when it's time to go back to bring things to your people, you don't have nothing to give, because you let other people exploit you. And that's something that I really try to be on the guard for, because at the end of the day, if I don't have anything to give back to my people, then it's worthless. Like, it's not really about it. I feel like there's a time to be with everybody, and there's a time to be with just we. And so I think, like, it's very hard for me sometimes. Like, even these discussions, for as much as I love people, this is very hard. Like, to sit around and talk all day about how white supremacy is affecting people of color, and when you're a person of color and you think about what's happened to you and what's happened to so many other people, it gets hard and it's frustrating. A lot of emotions come up, and it takes a level of maturity to be able to deal with those things and to still sit down at the table with white people every day. I don't think people realize how much that is, because the more you know, the more it hurts, you know. And it seems like the more you learn, the easier it is to fall into bitterness and hatred, and to be in a constant battle with that and to take that on, I think is really hard. Because I have some peers who just don't deal with it, because they don't want to have to face those emotions, because they're scared they're just going to end up hating people, because they don't want to have to face what's really going on, especially the older generation, because they've been through so much and they've faced it in so many ways that they don't want to sit around and talk about it. They don't want to sit around and analyze it, because it's too much pain, and they don't know what's going to happen when those emotions rise to the top. So I think, especially being here this week and being the only me for most of the week so far, like, times when, like, emotions rise up and stuff happens and stuff is being said, like, being the only me, what I say and what I do is being watched, and I know that, and knowing when and what to say and how not to say it. But one thing for people who have been here, there's been times when white people have done certain things and other white people have stepped up and checked them and called them out and held them accountable, and that has, like, been a blessing to me. That has been a relief to me, and I think that that's what needs to happen. That's the phase of this thing. That's what I need for the white people around me. I need you to check your people. You know, I need you to keep them in line. I need, because I can't carry everything. I can't do everything. I need you to be there for me. That's how you can be my ally.
Yes.
And I appreciate being able to see that with people here. So.
Well, I certainly can understand your comments. I'm the only quote American Indian person here. So I also, as someone who has been asked by my people to go out and work with other communities, know exactly what you're saying. My last question, or another question I should say, this is the 40th anniversary of one of the so-called civil rights landmark legislation of voting rights legislation. We are here still in the Deep South, Immokalee, Florida. I hear a lot of predominantly white people say that things have really changed and improved, and civil rights is just doing, you know, much better. Personally speaking, I don't quite feel that way. I think it's nothing more than new wallpaper on an already cracked foundation. But as a younger person, what is your opinion of some of the civil rights history in the last few years here? Do you see things improving, or do you see it getting worse if it ever was any better?
There are points where it has improved, and there's points where it has stayed the same. Some people have been given more access, if you look at it as a community, I think that gaps in the workplace, gaps in employment, gaps in education, gaps in access to resources, in some ways, are at the same point, if not worse, in some places, in certain areas of the United States, and as a whole, for the African-American community. In some cases, people haven't been given more access. I had the chance to go to a predominantly white Christian university, and I had to go through a lot. I had to deal with a lot of racism day to day, but I still had that opportunity. I still had that chance, and I still had support to do that. I still had people there to be accountable to. As ignorant as them people may have been, they were still there. And I think that's something that my ancestors wrought for me, and that's something that I appreciate. But there's still a long, long, long way to go. Just because some people are getting through the cracks and some people are climbing over the walls, that does not mean that the walls are not there. That does not mean that the barriers are not still there. And as for the voting rights, voting legislation,
yes.
What happened in 2004 in different precincts and in different voting booths and districts and everything is a testament to how far we have come. The number of African-American and Latino votes that were miscounted or misplaced and everything is a testament to the fact that no matter how far we think we have come, at any moment in which the state, in which white supremacy chooses to exert its privilege and chooses to silence our voices, they still have that power. And that's how far we've come. As long as people at any moment can decide they want to treat you or I a certain way because of the color of our skin, or because of who they perceive us to be, because they don't understand our culture, that's when we can measure. When you measure a society by what they do when you resist them. If they want to beat you down and silence you and kidnap you and destroy you and lock your people up and systematically help set up your education so that your men continue to go to jail and that your daughters continue to not get the support that they need to know that they are beautiful too, even though they don't fit this
image
that has been put forth by somebody else who does not know or understand or appreciate them, that's how you measure your society. And it depends on who's measuring things and what their measuring stick looks like. It depends on who you ask how far we've come. Those people who say things are better, they have not been in the trenches, and they have not been with the people who have to deal with the state when the state is not getting what it wants, and when you're not just staying in line, and when you haven't just set up and going into the cast that they set before you when you were born.
I thank you very much. Another thought that came to mind as you were talking, this is a subject that concerns me quite a lot, and that is within Native American community, some of our young people do not seem to be so much interested anymore in learning traditional indigenous cultural ways. Our languages are in jeopardy. Globalization has also impacted youth to the point where disrespect of elders, disrespect of traditions is really creating quite a problem. And a lot of our young people really are not so much interested to know the history of colonialism and what some of our people really struggled and gave their lives for so that we could be here today. I'm not really knowledgeable enough to talk on African-American people's struggles, but would you agree that this is a problem also within the black community, that young people are perhaps not respectful enough of knowing the real history of oppression and trying to understand some of the colonialism that your parents and grandparents and great-grandparents went through?
Yes, that is a very serious passion of mine, because I was a history major, and a passion of mine is African-American history, because I think a lot of things that we deal with is because we don't know who we are, because we are a stolen people, because we are a people whose gods, whose religions, whose language, and whose names have been erased and mixed up and manipulated and re-given and repackaged and is now selling out on the market as mainstream pop culture. And it's like it really angers me when young people don't know their history. You know, it's bad enough that we can only trace for our history, but so far, and that ability that we do have, people don't take advantage of, and I think it's a very, very, very serious problem. And it's something that in my life that I hope to be able to address anytime that I have an opportunity to have young people around and be able to share names and books and events and things that has happened that has made us who we are and brought us where we are today, I use that to the fullest. When we have our PTIs and we have week-long training, at best we'll have one or two African Americans. And I make it a point to be able to sit down and to talk to people and see where they're at when it's concerning things and to challenge people to know who they are. It's very, very important to know who you are because white supremacy is real and it's all around. And if you don't know who you are, then you'll choose to just be white. You'll choose the easy route. You'll choose just to give in. You'll choose just to go out and to be what society is saying that you should be.
Yes.
If not, you have to have a foundation. You have to have something to be able to stand on. You have to have something to be proud of yourself. You have to be able to appreciate your face. You have to be able to appreciate the way you talk, the way you express yourself. If you don't, then you'll try to pick up somebody else's way and you'll go crazy.
Yes.
You'll go crazy trying to be somebody else and you'll slowly die on the inside. And I think it's a very, very, very big problem that young people don't take the time to learn who they are, learn who we are, learn what our ancestors did to get us here.
From the All People Singers Ensemble, an honor song to Harriet Tubman, a brave woman anti-slavery warrior. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kedishi Native Center. This is your host and producer, Ernest Pritzker. I'm speaking with Miss Danae Davis, a social justice organizer, who is here participating at the 2005 Immokalee in Centro, which has brought many fine young activists together for a week-long gathering on global justice and support of the coalition of Immokalee workers who continue their fight for worker right. My last question to you, Danae, is a subject I've wondered about for quite some time. As a Native person who has had the honor to visit many different tribal peoples throughout the world, I am proud of the diversity of indigenous peoples' cultures. I am proud of the vast knowledge and wisdoms tribal peoples have. This is why our Wolf Mountain Radio tries to present the voice of indigenous peoples from throughout the world, including tribal Africa, your ancestors. What saddens me, however, is why it seems to me that many African Americans have separated themselves from their tribal roots. The African friends I know do honor their indigenous cultural life ways, which share many similarities to Native American cultural beliefs. I don't see many black Americans being connected to their ancient cultures, to indigenous African spirituality, for example. I don't mean for my question to embarrass you. I'm asking this because I think a better future for my black brothers and sisters will only happen when there is a recognition, respect, and reclaiming of traditional African culture that is not Euro-American. I feel similarly about people who are labeled Latin or Hispanic, who also need to reconnect with their pre-European native cultures that have been colonized for over 500 years here in the Western Hemisphere. Would you please share any thoughts you may have to my question?
A basic answer would be, they believe what the oppressor has told them. It's internalized racism. We've become so distant from who we are that we believe what the oppressor, the colonizer, however you want to put it, what they told us about ourselves. They told us that that's dumb and that's ugly and that's evil and that's Satan and that's this and that, and that we bought into this image so much that we distance ourselves from ourselves. We can't even recognize ourselves and other people in our family's faces. Imagine meeting your long-lost brother and denying him, and he knows that you are his brother, but you just can't see him and you keep rejecting him. And I feel like that's the tension that a lot of Africans feel when they come around other African Americans, or even they themselves have brought into the lies that other people have told them about us.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? We're so divided by this thing that it frustrates me. The last semester of school, we had a meeting at school called Children of the African Diaspora, and the African students and African American students got together, and we sat down and we asked each other questions and we talked about some of the issues that we have. And to sit around and hear my African brothers and sisters say the same things, the same stereotypes that white people have been saying to me all my life, hurt, and it cuts so deep. And it's like they get it from TV and they get it from this and that, and it's like, before you even meet me, you already have these ideas of me, because this preconception. And it was this other way around too. African Americans did the same thing for them, and it's like, when you think about how deep and how long this whole racism and white supremacy thing goes, and how deep it runs in each and one of them, and how many blocks it puts up, it's just so frustrating and it's so hard, and it's like it really irks me. And when it comes to like traditional religion and traditional native things, that's another thing that frustrates me, because I grew up in a Christian church, and African traditional anything that was evil, that was wrong, that was Satan, and they can't step away with what the white man told them about the Bible in order to see themselves. If you look at some of the correlations between African Americans have church and the way African peoples around this world worship their creator, there's so many correlations, it's ridiculous. When you talk about a spirit of a people surviving lies, surviving assimilation, surviving amnesia, and these things still come up out of us, that's a testament to our connection. When I watch people across the ocean on the continent worship and celebrate, I see so many things. It blows me away. Skip the fact that I see features. You know, I see the way that they worship, and I see the way that they express themselves. And for people that I've never met and never seen, who are so far across the ocean, to still get down the same way, it's like there is a spirit of a people that cannot be destroyed. Even if we don't recognize it, even if we forget it, even if we deny it, that spirit still lives. And that's a testament to the Creator, you know? That's a testament to no matter how much and how frustrating this white supremacy thing, this racism, this colonization, imperialism, however you want to put it, no matter how far and stretch this thing reaches, it can't kill the spirit of the people. And I think at the end of the day, what we need to do is to reclaim that spirit. We need to get past this intellectual, we need to get past what the colonizer has told us about ourselves, and get back to what's just here on the inside. At the end of the day, when we sit down, what's on the inside of me and you, that when we talk, we rise to the top, that's the same, you know? And it's just, I mean, it's a lot, you know? It's a lot.
I am born of the land, my soul is a son. Nature is my mother, I am Mother Nature's son.
The wind is my spirit, running wild, running free. Water is my mirror, reflecting visions in me. For I am what I am, and I always will be. I am what I am, I am Aborigine. I'm like a great river that slowly runs dry. Me and abuse, and like the river I will die. I'm a child of the earth, created from dust. I live for my land, taking only what I must. For I am what I am, and I always will be. I am what I am Aborigine. I'm a hunter of animals, I imitate their stance. I am what I hunt, and I'm a spirit in the dance. I'm a painter of walls, I'm an artist of dreams, depicting mythological creatures and spirits in my scenes. For I am what I am, and I always will be. I am what I am Aborigine.
Listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kidichi Native Center. Yat-Kidichi Native Center defends Mother Earth and the cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Yat-Kidichi Native Center is an intertribal, culture and arts, environmental protection, social justice, and news media organization. Yat-Kidichi Native Center portrays Native peoples and their world views in a more accurate and in-depth depiction of both our ancestral and contemporary cultures. Yat-Kidichi Native Center serves to educate by providing a deeper understanding of our diverse cultures, arts, values, histories, and contemporary situations. Yat-Kidichi tries to honor traditional ways by instilling an appreciation and respect for Mother Earth and tribal peoples throughout the world. Yat-Kidichi Native Center educates the public on important issues facing Indigenous communities. We work in support of intertribal, cultural, environmental, and social justice issues by networking with other organizations and events which share our concerns. Yat Kedichi Native Center serves as a focal point for Native news and information. We maintain a documentary library for networking with the Native and international press. Yat Kedichi Native Center's Speakers Bureau provides spokespersons for school programs, conference speakers, and community presentations. Yat Kedichi Native Center is experienced in planning, promoting Native forums, symposiums, powwows, and cultural events. Yat Kedichi's Mishkwinataki Environment Program protects Mother Earth through conservation and restoration projects. Yat Kedichi's Environmental Education Program focuses on curriculum development, teacher training, and nature field trips. We are members of the professional organization, the North American Association of Environmental Education. Yat Kedichi's Kinonwatakwisin Native Arts creates quality handcrafted traditional and contemporary fine arts. Please request our catalog of custom flutes, pottery, beaded necklaces, bracelets, earrings, leather pouches, hat bands, and chokers with bone. Yat Kedichi Native Center's Wolf Mountain Radio Program, Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, honors Native American and Indigenous peoples throughout the world by being a voice for our ancestors, contemporary, and future generations. Please write us for our catalog of audio tapes available for purchase. Native peoples throughout the world are concerned for the well-being of sacred Mother Earth, tribal sovereignty, and respect for cultural lifeways. If you appreciate hearing Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, we ask you, our listeners, to help financially support our program to stay on the air. Wolf Mountain Radio is an all-volunteer production. Any financial contribution to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices will be greatly appreciated. We thank you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Please feel free to contact us about our consulting services, or if you or your organization is interested in hosting a speaker or educational forum. To contact Yat Kedichi Native Center, write to Yat Kedichi Native Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, Florida, 34120, USA. Yat Kedichi Native Center sincerely thanks you. Aho, Kinawatakwisin, to all of our relations. Thank you.
music from Hawaii Edwards off her Canyon Records CD, Morning Star. The song was entitled Past Generation. I first had the privilege to meet Hawaii when she was a Native Youth Representative at the Belonging to Mother Earth Indigenous Wisdom and Healing Conference in Powwow, which Radio for Peace International co-sponsored in 1998. Hawaii is a fine example of the spirit of our young people, our future leaders. The song we featured prior to our Yacht Kiddushi Native Center program identification was from Aborigine singer-songwriter Johnny Huckle. The song was entitled, I Am Aborigine. Well, dear friends, we're nearing the end of our broadcast time together for this edition of Wolf Mountain Native Radio. I want to again thank today's program guest, Danae Davis, for sharing her thoughts with us and for her global justice activism. Before we conclude with a song from the drum Black Lodge, I want to provide some contact information and encourage our worldwide listeners to get active in the Earth Justice Movement. For more information about the NCentro and how to support the Coalition of Mockley Workers, check out the National Student Farm Worker Alliance, SFA, website. Their website is www.SFALLIANCE.org. Once again, for more information about the NCentro and how to support the Coalition of Mockley Workers, check out the National Student Farm Worker Alliance, SFA, website at www.SFALLIANCE.org. Also look at Coalition of Mockley Workers website, that is www.CIW-online.org. Once again, Coalition of Mockley Workers website, www.CIW-online.org. I also welcome people to visit our Yacht Kiddushi Native Center website, www.yachtkiddushi.org. Our Yacht Kiddushi Native Center website is www.yatkitishehe.org. Our Yacht Kiddushi Native Center links page lists a number of great organizations and their websites. We shall conclude today's program with a prayer song from the drum Black Lodge off their Canyon Records CD entitled More Kids Powwow Songs. This song is dedicated to all youth. Thank you for listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. This is your host and producer, Ernest Pritzker. Aho, Kenan Wintakwesin, to all of our relations.
I would like to sing a prayer song for all the children throughout the world that's listening to this CD. We hope that you enjoy it, that the Creator will bless each and every one of you, that these songs will bless you as you grow, and that you'll remember that all songs, no matter what songs you listen to, are an inspiration to our souls and minds and our bodies.